There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
There's a bright golden haze on the meadow.
The corn is as high as an elephant's eye.
And it looks like it's climbing clear up to the sky.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
Well, hello again. This is Buck Benny speaking. Thought I'd come out tonight and talk a little about Fred Astaire. He's the guest on Bing Crosby's show tonight. Fred did not do a lot of radio. He, about 25 or so programs over the course of the golden age of radio. Right now, tonight's episode will be one of his last two or three that he'll do. He did more on with Bing Crosby than any other shows that he did. He did probably five or six Crosby shows, I suppose, over the course of Crosby's career in radio. And I don't know why he didn't do more. I would tend to think perhaps he would feel kind of naked without having people be able to see his dancing. From what I've heard, he was not delighted with his singing voice and thought that he was a much better dancer, of course, and he was. He was a spectacular dancer. But I've always enjoyed his singing voice and was surprised that he didn't have maybe more of a recording career or something, because he's got a really unique style to him. Of all the actors I can think of, he just exudes class. And I think it's awesome that we have tonight's performance to hear him. Another fun thing about tonight's performance is you're going to hear a duet between Bing and Fred Astaire doing a cover of our own Phil Harris's song. Of course, the big song at this time is, what is it, everybody? One, two, three, The Thing. That's right, The Thing. And so they're going to do a performance of The Thing, and that will be a lot of fun. We will have Fred Astaire back at the end of this season on the Bing Crosby Show. And I'm just delighted, as I hope you are, that you just get a chance to hear him. And it makes it especially powerful that because he wasn't in much radio. And that kind of, some of these folks we get to hear a lot of, you know, they say, oh, he's popping up again over here. Oh, he's over here. And Jimmy Stewart was all over the place, right? But Fred Astaire, not so much. So enjoy this rare performance, and I hope you're loving these Crosby shows as much as I am. The sound quality is just so refreshing to hear, and of all the shows you can have in high sound quality, wouldn't Bing Crosby be one of the ones that you want at the highest sound quality, just because of all the music that's on the show? I mean, you've got Jack Benny's show, and Jack Benny's show has music, but it's about the comedy. Bing Crosby's show is about the music, but it has comedy in it. So it's kind of just the opposite, in a way, of Jack's show, the emphasis anyway. Emphasis is on the music with some comedy thrown in. And he has Bing has a really nice way about him that just really attracts me. It just really feels like he's, almost more down to earth, almost more spontaneous. And yet, when you hear, like over the last few weeks, the multiple Christmas shows I was playing, the dialogue at the beginning with his announcer always sounds kind of ad-libbed in a way, or really loose, and yet it's identical from year to year to year to year. I mean, you heard the same when he does Ave Maria, their banter at the beginning of that, is scripted, and it's this exact same. You listen to multiple of my Christmas episodes I posted of Bing Crosby, and it's just hilarious to hear them talk about the family key and all of that and the way they're going to do it. And even the wording, like, indeed, they use indeed in the same place on all of them. And, of course, they weren't expecting you to hear these shows back to back to back. They were expecting they'd play them once and you'd probably never hear them again. So I think we're lucky in old-time radio to have the diversity we do have. Because if it was me plotting a show, let's say I was a writer, I'd probably say, well, shoot, let's write one season's worth of episodes, and next season we'll just do the same episodes, because why bother with something fresh when people will have forgotten and things, and they'll never hear those episodes again, so we can redo them. I'm just glad it wasn't me that was in charge, because of there being so much diversity. And certainly, if they dreamed in their wildest imaginations that in 2011 we'd still be listening to these shows, I'm sure they would have even done more diversity than they did. Anyway, enjoy the show, and we'll talk to you next time.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield always takes first place. That milder, mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste.
So open a pack, give them a smell,
then you'll smoke them.
Someone waits for me.
This is Ken Carpenter welcoming you to the Bing Crosby Show for Chesterfield, produced and transcribed in Hollywood with John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins of the Bears, and Bing's guest, Mr. Fred Astaire. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it gives me great pleasure to present Gary Crosby's father, Mr. Music.
Thank you. Now, wait a minute, Ken. Thank you a lot, but I really think, Ken, the folks heard enough about Mr. Music on the show last week. Now,
only the beginning.
Oh, no.
Well, the month of January is here, and letters and telegrams are pouring in from all over the country congratulating you on your 20 years in show business.
No kidding.
Why, sure. Not only that, carrier pigeons are arriving by the thousands every day with messages.
Well, why carrier pigeons with messages?
Well, Bing, what a lot of the folks have to say just can't be sent through the mail.
I'll bet Hope sat on the eggs that hatched those pigeons, too.
I wouldn't accuse Bob of that.
No, I'll retract that. I must, because Bob doesn't sit in one place long enough to hatch anything. Ken, whether the messages are good or bad, they are all in the beloved American tradition.
That's right.
I tell you, it's wonderful living in a country where even the president can say what he thinks. Don't say it with ink. Huh?
No. Would you like to see some of the messages, Bing?
Well, certainly.
Here's a telegram from Benny Stubeck in Spokane, Washington.
Oh, good old Benny. Is he still running the pool hall up there?
Apparently.
Yeah?
It says, now that you've been chosen Mr. Music, I would like to join in the celebration and mark your old account paid.
Sweet of Benny? Yes, thinks of everything.
Here's a P.S. I'm putting your brother Everett's bill in the hands of a collection agency.
Listen, he might as well tear that one up, too.
Oh, Bing, here's another wire. I don't know. I don't think you'll care too much for this one.
No, I can take it.
It says, Bing Crosby, Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
Why all this hullabaloo about you? I got bigger in 6 weeks than you did in 20 years.
Who's that from?
It's signed The Thing.
All right. Okay, Ken, now read me some of the good ones.
Those are the good ones.
Well, I better go to singing then. Our opening number is Life is So Peculiar, which, oddly enough, is from a Paramount picture called Mr. Music. Oh, life is so peculiar. You get so wet in the rain. You get so warm in the sunshine. But it doesn't pay to complain. When I get up each morning, there's nothing to breathe but air. When I look in the mirror, there's nothing to comb but hair. When I sit down to breakfast, why do you laugh? Life is so peculiar, but you can't stay home and brood.
Yes, life is so peculiar.
The desert's only got some sand. The ocean's loaded with water.
You never know where you stand.
When I go out to dinner, there's nothing to wear but clothes.
When I get sleepy, nothing to do but doze.
And whenever I get thirsty, there's nothing to do but drink.
Oh, life is so peculiar that it makes you stop and think.
Oh, life is so peculiar.
A bird can usually sing. A pearl is made by an oyster.
And it's a mess. Man, you can't be sure of a thing. When I get tired of resting,
there's nothing to do but walk.
And when I don't care to listen,
there's nothing to do but talk.
When I'm up there buzzing around in my airplane,
there's nothing to do but fly.
Life is so peculiar, and I often wonder why. Yes, life
is so peculiar.
A fork belongs with a knife.
Bah, bah, bah.
Corned beef is lost without cabbage.
Bah, 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 bah.
A husband should have a wife. Well, you know that life is so peculiar,
but as everybody says, that's life, that's life.
Well, ain't it a mess?
That's life.
Nice, Bing, and boys and girls.
We thank you, Mr. Cartman. Now, should we spread the good word about those ever-loving Chesterfields, huh?
I'm delighted, Bing, although I do think better tasting is a bit more apropos than ever-loving.
Well, I sometimes get carried away when I'm talking about my favorite cigarette. But anyway, folks, ever-loving, better-tasting Chesterfield is the only cigarette that combines for you mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste.
Yes, that's absolutely right, friends. But you can prove it yourself. Buy a pack of Chesterfields, then open it and enjoy that delicate, milder Chesterfield aroma. Compared with the brand you've been smoking, and you'll find Chesterfields are milder.
And tobaccos that smell milder smoke milder. You light a Chesterfield, and you see how true that is. Chesterfields do smoke milder.
You'll notice, too, that they leave no unpleasant aftertaste. That fact has been confirmed by the country's first and only cigarette taste panel.
So always buy a Chesterfield, the only cigarette that combines mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste. Here's a song written by Kalmar and Ruby. It's been revived in the last few weeks till it's now, I think, number one or two or three. Maybe I'm right, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm weak, maybe I'm strong. But nevertheless, I'm in love with you. Maybe I'll win, and maybe I'll lose. Maybe I'm in for crying the blues. But nevertheless, I'm in love with you. Somehow I know at a glance the terrible chances I'm taking. Fine at the start, then left with a heart that is breaking. Maybe I live a life of regret, and maybe I'll give much more than I'll get. But nevertheless, I'm in love with you.
Somehow I know at a glance the terrible chances I'm taking. Falling for you, fine at the start.
maybe I'll live a life of regret. Maybe I'll give much more than I'll get. But nevertheless, I'm in love.
Might as well confess that I'm in love with you.
The time now approacheth where we usher in our visiting personality of the evening. Tonight we're setting sort of a precedent here by bouncing right back with a guest star whose last appearance was such a smash that fan mail poured in from all over the country requesting a return engagement of this great artist.
Bing, are you talking about Fred Astaire?
That's the boy.
Oh, but last time Fred Astaire was with us was 2 years ago. Is that bouncing right back?
Well, on our lackadaisical type program, it is, yes.
Well, Bing, Don't quibble.
Ladies and gentlemen, in answer to your thousands of insistent letters requesting his immediate return, we bring you once again the nimble-witted, nimble-footed Fred Astaire.
Thank you, Bing.
Thank you. Now, Fred, here we are again.
I know. And I feel like a pest bouncing right back like this.
Oh, now, don't be silly. We can't get enough of you.
But, Bing, I was here only 2 years ago.
Well, that's what you call showmanship, Fred. You were on, you were good, so we grab you right back while you're hot.
I still think we should have waited another week.
What, and let you get cold?
Just so I don't get overbearing.
Oh, I see.
I'd hate to be one of those guys you turn on your radio every 2 years, and there he is.
Oh, now, Fred.
One Arthur Godfrey is enough.
Now, Sir Fred, as far as we're concerned, you'll never wear out your welcome here.
Oh, it's not me. You're just enthusiastic about dancing. I can tell.
How can you tell?
By your clothes.
How do you mean that?
You're always dressed like you're on your way to a square dance.
Either a square dance or a snipe hunt. I'm ready for it. Or a duck blind. Anything you want.
Bing,
what?
Is that on the level about that fan mail, though?
What I said about you up there? Yes, yeah. The folks demanded you. Wow. Thousands of fans wrote in. They absolutely demanded your return.
Then why'd you wait 2 years?
Because I don't like people telling me what to do.
Say, you are a headstrong boy.
Well, as a boy, I had the strongest head in Spokane.
You'd have to hold up those ears.
Now, just a minute. Wait a minute, Fred. We're too classy, you and I. We shouldn't be doing this. We have too much soigner to stand here and resort to this rowdy, rugged type of dialogue. It isn't for us at all. It's for Hope and those kind of people. Oh. Jerry Lewis.
I was only kidding, Bing, really.
When you talk like that, you make me sorry I waited so long to bring you back.
Well, Bing, you always were a procrastinator.
Yeah, I used to be known as that. What was I?
Procrastinate.
Well, I've turned over a new leaf. I don't procrastinate anymore. I don't put things off like I used to.
No.
No, I've reformed.
Give me a for instance.
Well, for instance, this afternoon I attended to some work that I've been meaning to do on my car.
Finally put on your 1950 plates, huh?
No, I scraped that NRA sticker off the windshield. That thing has been bothering me.
Say, you're really getting caught up.
Yeah, now I'm all ready to go on that trip. You know, the one I've been postponing for so long?
What trip?
Dixie and I are going on our honeymoon.
Well, congratulations.
Would you like to go along with us?
On your honeymoon?
Yeah.
Wouldn't I be in the way?
Not at all. You can play with the kids. You'd make a nice fifth for basketball.
Well, okay. Tie a pair of sneakers on the back of the car and count me in.
Oh, you are a pal, Fred.
You're my buddy, Bing. You know, in our house, you're our favorite radio personality.
You listen to the program regularly?
Every 2 years.
You never were much of a fella to form habits, were you,
Fred? But I want to tell you one thing, Bing. I saw Mr. Music and I enjoyed it very much.
Well, on behalf of the large and talented cast in Mr. Music, I thank you very much.
And Bing, I think it's wonderful that ASCAP, the American Society of Authors, Composers, and Publishers, has bestowed upon you the title of Mr. Music of Show Business. And furthermore, I understand the entire month of January is being dedicated to you.
Well, frankly, Fred, I'm just a little embarrassed about that.
What do you mean, embarrassed? I heard that originally they were going to make it the month of February, but you put up a terrible squawk because it only has 28 days.
That wasn't my beat. I wasn't complaining about that. I just didn't feel right moving in on Washington and Lincoln like.
Why not? You all came up together. What are you going to call this month? Binguary?
No, it's a good idea. You know, the way they explained the idea to me was that they hoped that when people thought of January, they'd think of me.
Well, frankly, Bing, I have an Esquire calendar, and when I think of January, I'm not thinking of you.
Well, you've never seen me in my new mincing wear with the drawstrings.
You know, it's hard to believe you're celebrating your 20th year in show business. It doesn't seem you've been around that long, does it?
Well, it wasn't so long ago I saw you dance for the first time.
Oh, yes, it was.
Oh, it was, and I remember when it was Fred and Adele Astaire.
I was a gay young Blade.
Oh, you were a handsome devil. You had everything. Youth, charm, looks. Always puzzled me, though.
What?
All that going for you, and you were out dancing with your sister.
Well, at least it wasn't my brother.
Well, Everton.
Remember, Bing, Adele wasn't my only partner.
No, that's right.
No, we split up when she got married.
Well, see, I wanted to ask you something about that, too, Fred. Adele was so talented and attractive. When she left, I imagine lots of trouble, huh? Getting a beautiful partner? I mean, for a guy like you?
What do you mean, for a guy like me?
Well, you know, a guy that hangs out with his sister.
While we're discussing family life...
Yes?
Right here, I'd like to say, never have I worked with my son.
Fred, now that we're fortunate enough to have you here, what would you like to do to entertain our listeners?
Well, let's see. I dance.
Well, that doesn't work too good for radio. Dancing's great, Fred, but if they ever, you know, if they ever invented something where people could see you as well as hear you.
You mean television?
Shh, quiet. We've been telling our listeners that the television is still on the drawing board.
Bing, your listeners must lead a pretty sheltered life.
Oh, most of them are on the lam. Folks, Fred and I have a little special arrangement here of a big hit tune, which we now submit for your approval. Are you ready, Fred?
Ready.
John Scott, let's have it.
While we were walking down the beach one bright and sunny day, we saw a great big wooden box a-floating in the bay. We pulled it out and opened it up, and much to our surprise, oh, we discovered a right before your eyes.
Yes, they discovered a right before their eyes, a genuine real life before their very eyes.
I thought I'd take it home with me and teach it how to sing. We'd go on television then, the team of Thing and Bing. We practiced McNamara's band and dear old Donegal, but I couldn't sing with that. It had no voice at all.
He couldn't sing with that. It had no voice at all.
I took it to my studio to teach it how to dance. To polka, waltz, and jitterbug, I gave it every chance. I taught it every step I knew, its training was complete. And then I noticed that it hadn't any feet.
He couldn't dance with it, it hadn't any feet.
I took it out to Pittsburgh then to join the Pirates team. And every time it came to bat, showed a lot of steam. Four times it circled the bases, but it made no score at all. That silly son of a forgot to hit the ball.
That silly son of a forgot to hit the ball.
I introduced it to my friends, this mystifying pet. It soon became the darling of the international set. I said to Rita Hayworth, is it beast or is it man? She said, I can't figure that, but maybe Allie can.
He made a jump, he said he made a jump, but maybe Allie can.
We put it back into the box and tied it tight with rope. And then we sent it COD to Mr. Robert Hope. Oh, how we'd like to be on hand to watch the luckless goof. When that sees it, he'll really hit the roof.
When that sees it,
you blow his top, you call a cop and really hit the roof.
Fred, I guess we took care of that thing, huh?
We sure did, old thing. But, Bing, now that you're celebrating your 20th anniversary, I think the folks would like to hear one of your old songs. I know I would.
What, for instance, do you think they'd like to hear,
Fred?
Just
One More Chance.
Well, I tell you, if John Scott can take the old arrangement and slide it down about four tones, I might be able to handle it without popping a gasket.
One more chance to prove it you alone I care for. Each night I say a little prayer for. Just one more chance. Just one more night to taste those kisses that enchant me. I'd want no others if you'd grant me just one more chance. I've learned the meaning of repentance. Now you're the jury at my trial. I know that I should serve my sentence. Still, I'm hoping all the while you'll give me just one more word. I said that I was glad to start out, but now I'm back to cry my heart out. For just one more chance. I've learned the meaning of repentance. Now you're the jury at my trial. I know that I should serve my sentence. Still, I'm hoping all the while you'll give me just one more word. I said that I was glad to start out, but now I'm back to cry my heart out. For just one more chance.
Oh, wonderful. Very, very good, Bing. You never sang that song better.
Ken, this is the start of the new year. Now, let's not start out by conning each other.
Okay. Bing, this being the start of the new year, I think we should go all out to remind the folks what a wonderful cigarette Chesterfield is.
Now, you can count me in, Ken, because nothing makes me happier than to see a smoker change over to Chesterfield.
And now's the time to do it, friends. Once you get a pack of Chesterfields, then open them, smell them, and smoke them. You'll convince yourself they're milder.
And once you start smoking them, you'll find milder Chesterfields leave no unpleasant aftertaste.
Yes, that fact has been confirmed by the country's first and only cigarette taste panel. So make 1951 the year you change to better tasting Chesterfields, the only cigarette that combines for you mildness with no unpleasant aftertaste.
Always buy Chesterfields. They satisfy.
Chesterfield, Chesterfield always takes first place. That milder, mild tobacco never leaves an aftertaste.
So open a pack, give them a smell,
then you'll smoke them.
Isn't that cute?
Yeah.
where the sea is dark and cold. My love has gone, and our dreams grow old. There'll be no tears, there'll be no regretting. Will she remember me? Will she forget? I'll send 1,000 flowers when the trade winds blow. I'll send my lonely heart for I love her so. Someday I know. She'll come back again to me.
Till
then, my heart'll be beyond the again to me. Till then, my heart'll be beyond the
couple of acknowledgments to supporting artists. That was Miss Lulie Jean Norman singing out there beyond the reef, and Danny Stewart was on the steel guitar. And that song certainly gives me the old wanderlust. I may jump on a freighter in the morning if the Southern Star is in the harbor down there and leave for the Southern Seas.
I'll go with you. It'll be a good place to hide until Bing Crosby month blows over.
You bring some trinkets, I'll bring the dice, and my ukulele will be a riot down there.
But really, Bing,
huh?
I do want to offer my congratulations and best wishes for next Wednesday, which will be Bing's Day all over the country.
What's this Bing's Day now?
Why, it's in your honor.
Get out.
Next Wednesday, they'll be dancing in the streets, balloon ascensions, one-cent sales, cornerstone layings, grass fires, smog, protest meetings, and to top off the whole thing, thousands of carrier pigeons flying in formation are going to spell out Bing Crosby.
In the sky?
In the sky, on the ground, all
wait a
over.
Isn't this thrilling?
Who's going to help you celebrate Bing's Day on your program next week?
Well, next week, Fred, our guests are going to be Bob Hope and Bob Crosby.
Well, that's better than a grass fire.
Better than the pigeons, too. But we're going to have just a lot of fun. Thanks, Fred, for dropping in, huh?
It was really jolly, Bing. Good night.
Good night, Fred. Folks, see you next week for Chesterfield, the best cigarette for you to smoke.
This is Sherman Billingsley reporting from my store club in New York. You know, our number one cigarette is Chesterfield. And when customers ask for a long cigarette, I always recommend Fatima. It says right on the golden yellow package, they're extra mild. And they sure are. At the store club, we only recommend the best. Number one, Chesterfield. And king size Fatima, the best of all long cigarettes. We'll be right back.
Bing Crosby Show, presented by Chesterfield, was produced and transcribed in Hollywood by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Fred Astaire will soon be seen with Jane Powell in the Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Technicolor musical, Royal Wedding. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guests, Bob Hope and Bob Crosby.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Railroad Hour. And here comes our star-studded show train. Tonight, the Association of American Railroads invites you to a review of some of the outstanding music from the Railroad Hour shows of 1950, starring Gordon McRae, his guest Lucille Norman, and the entire company. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and the music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This special New Year's Day program is brought to you by the American Railroads, the same railroads that bring you most of the food you eat, the clothes you wear, the fuel you burn, and all the other things you use in your daily life. And now, here is our star, Gordon McRae.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you, Marvin Miller, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Well, folks, tonight is New Year's night. A time for looking back and a time for looking forward. During the past 52 weeks of Railroad Hours, we've had a great deal of mail from you telling us about your favorite shows. And so tonight we're going to sing for you some of the songs you liked especially. We're starting off with a song from the very first Railroad Hour of 1950. The operetta was The Red Mill. The song, well, one of the jauntiest that ever came from the eloquent pen of Victor Herbert. Every day is Ladies' Day with me.
Every day is Ladies' Day with me. I'm quite at their disposal all the while. And my pleasure, it is double if they come to me in trouble, for I always find a way to make them smile. The little darlings, no doubt I should have married long ago. The proper thing to do, you'll all agree. But I never could find any fun in wasting all my time on one. So every day is Ladies' Day with me. It's a frightful thing to think of all the hearts that I have broken, although each one fell in love with me without the slightest token. Though among my vulgar creditors I'm fearfully in debt, it's because I have afforded anything that I could get. But I must say I've enjoyed the best of what there is in life. I've been lucky in my love affairs. I've never had a wife. And I don't begrudge the little dears those necklaces of pearls. All the money that I've ever saved is what I've spent on girls. For every day is Ladies' Day with me.
Every day is Ladies' Day.
I'm quite at their disposal all the while.
Every day is disposal all.
And my pleasure, it is double if they come to me in trouble. For I always find a way to make them smile. The little darlings. No doubt I should have married long ago. The proper thing to do, you'll all agree. But I never could find any fun in wasting all my time on fun. So every day is Ladies' Day with me.
Every day is Ladies' Day.
So every day is Ladies' Day with me.
Show that seems to be a perennial favorite of yours is Walt Disney's interpretation of the story of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. There's a lovely song that Snow White sings by a wishing well. And here's Lucille Norma to sing the song you like the best from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Wanna know a secret? Promise not to tell. We are standing by a wishing well. That's all you have to do. And if you hear it echoing, your wish will soon come true. I'm wishing for the one I love to find me today. I'm hoping, and I'm dreaming of the nice things you say. La di da di da.
Among the musical highlights of the past year must be included some of the rollicking nonsense of Gilbert and Sullivan. Therefore, for fun, for wit, for jollity, our comedy highlight of the year. I'll take a big, deep breath and sing I Am the Very Model of a Modern Major General from Pirates of Penzance.
I am the very model of a modern major general. I've information, vegetable, animal, and mineral. I know the kings of England and I quote the Pichest article from Marathon to Waterloo in order categorical. I'm very well acquainted, too, with matters mathematical. I understand equations, both the simple and quadratical. About binomial theorem, I'm teeming with a lot of news.
Let's see.
What rhymes with news?
Ah,
snooze, blues, baby needs a new pair of shoes.
Ah, I have it.
With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse. With many cheerful facts about the square of the hypotenuse.
I'm very good at integral and differential calculus. I know the scientific names of beings animalculous. But still in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general.
Still in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, he is the very model of a modern major general.
I know our mythic history, king Arthur's answer catadox. I answer hard acrostics, have a pretty taste for paradox. I quote an elegiac, all the crimes of Heliogabalus. In conics, I can floor peculiarities for abulous. I can tell undoubted Raphael's and Gerardas and Zophanes. I know the croaking chorus from the frogs of Aristophanes. And I can hum a fugue of which I've heard the music's dinner for. Let's see, what rhymes with dinner for? Bore, snore, dinosaur. Ah, I have it. And whistle all the years from that infernal nonsense pinafore.
And whistle all the years from that infernal nonsense pinafore. And whistle all the years from that infernal nonsense pinafore. And whistle all the years from that infernal nonsense pinafore.
Then I can write a washing bill in Babylonic uniform and tell you every detail of Caractacus's uniform. In short, in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, I am the very model of a modern major general.
Still in matters vegetable, animal, and mineral, he is the very model of a modern major general.
Well, the musical highlights of the Railroad Hour's 1950 season.
Play to me beneath the summer moon, divine, divine, divine.
Judging from your letters, one of our favorite shows of the last year seems to be one of your favorite shows of any year. Noel Coward's haunting and unforgettable operetta, Bittersweet. So from that score, here is one of the most beautiful songs we sang in 1950.
Now, Miss Sarah, if you please, sing a scale for me. Take a breath and then reprise in a different key. Now remember knowing you. All the pleasure I have found in showing you the will of fate may come too late when I'm recalling the hours we've had. Why will the foolish tears tremble across the years? Why shall I feel so sad, treasuring the memory of these days always? I'll see you again whenever what has been is past forgetting.
Sweet memory across the years will come to me. So my love may
traditionally, this first day of the new year is a time when Americans look to the future. The year just ended has been one of solemn concern for all Americans. Since last June, our armed forces have been fighting with desperate courage to stem the tide of aggression in Korea. Today, our country is rearming against the threat of another world war. For the coming year, we Americans are prepared to take up a notch in our belts and push rearmament with all possible speed. We are determined to produce guns and planes and tanks and munitions in quantities that will deter any enemy or combination of enemies from future aggressive acts. As defense mobilization goes into high gear, it is the job of the railroads to move men and material and to haul the raw materials, the food, the fuel, the supplies that are needed to make the munitions which our men must have. To help speed this tremendous transportation job, the railroads have the skill, the ingenuity, and the experience gained during World War II. And since the end of that war, the railroads have spent more than $5 billion to increase their transportation capacity and to improve efficiency. Last year, the American railroads put more new locomotives into service than during any other year in the past quarter century. These new, more powerful locomotives, operating more efficiently and hauling the new, larger cars, make it possible for the average freight train today to carry more freight and carry it faster than ever before. During the year ahead, the railroads plan to continue this billion-dollar-a-year program of expansion and improvement right up to the limit of available manpower and material. At the same time, with the continued help of shippers and government agencies, they will get even more service out of every available car and locomotive. Yes, 1951 is a year of challenge to all Americans. And because we are free men, we will meet that challenge. For their part, in 1951, the railroads are determined to provide the transportation service so essential to keeping our economy strong, our nation free. And now back to Gordon McRae, his guest star Lucille Norman, and the show train's trip through the musical memories of 1950.
Many of the songs that you wrote us as being among your favorites came from the Railroad Hour Summer Series, during which we took you back through years that you had lived yesterday and told you the story of those years in words and in music. Well, sir, a song you liked particularly came from the year 1924, and here's the wonderful Carmen Dragon arrangement of George Gershwin's great hit, Lady Be Good.
Oh, sweet and lovely, Lady Be Good. Oh, Lady Be Good. Be good to me.
Lady Be Good to me.
I am so awfully misunderstood. So, Lady Be Good. Be good to me. I'm all alone in this big city. I tell you, I'm just a lonesome babe in the woods. So, Lady, be good to me.
Auburn hair, brunette, and blonde.
I love them tall and small.
But somehow they don't go far.
They shaggy but never fall.
Winter's gone, now it's where's my
fear? Somebody won't respond, I'm going to end it all.
Oh, sweet and lovely, Lady Be Good. Oh, Lady.
Lady Be Good to me.
It seems that I am so awfully misunderstood. So, Lady,
be good to me.
Big city.
I'm just a lonesome babe in the
woods.
Oh, Lady, be good.
Seems so misunderstood. Oh, Lady, be good to me.
Be good to me.
Favorite songs of the season have come from some of the greatest composers of operetta. Victor Herbert, Gilbert and Sullivan, George Gershwin.
And our next song is the work of a man who wrote not only some of the greatest music of his day, but music that must live forever, Jerome Kern.
It's the song that introduced Marilyn Miller to Broadway. Look for the Silver Lining from Sally.
Shining, and so the right thing
always banish sadness and strife. Always look for the silver lining and try to find the sunny
Thank you, Lucy. That was wonderful. Well, folks, we opened our 1950 fall and winter series with the first radio performance of the great Rodgers and Hammerstein hit Allegro. And no review of 1950 would be complete without something from these two talented pens.
I'm looking forward to next week, Gordon, when you present your next Rodgers and Hammerstein show, Carousel.
Well, we certainly are too, Lucy. Miss Patricia Morrison, Broadway musical star, will be our guest. And, well, the Carousel story and music ought to make a wonderful show. But now from Allegro, here's your favorite love song, You Are Never Away.
You are never away from your home in my heart. There is never a day when you don't play a part. In a word that I say or a sight that I see, I'm never away and I'll never be free. You're the smile on my face or a song that I sing. You're a rainbow I chase on a morning in spring. You're a star in the lace of a wild willow tree, in the green leafy lace of a wild willow tree. But tonight you're no star, I sing in my arms where you are sweeter than spring. In my arms where you are, clinging closely to me, you are lovelier by far than I dreamed you could be.
Just past had its light moments, its gay moments. But running through the year was the somber thread of current events, a thread that broadened and darkened as the last days of 1950 ran out. And now, as the new year begins, the hopes and the prayers of the world are united in the hope and prayer for peace, in the hope and prayer that we may find a common understanding, that we may learn to live with one another in one world, gathering strength and knowledge from the experiences behind us, in the hope and prayer that with faith and understanding, we can solve the problems of this hour and all the problems of the future. Please, God, may the new year truly be a happy one for you, for your friends, for your neighbors in your town, in your country, your neighbors in the world.
Thank you.
friends, it's been a real pleasure for all of us to have been with all of you on this first day of the new year. And on behalf of the American Railroads and all the members of our Railroad Hour family, let me extend best wishes for a truly happy new year. Of course, we'll all be contributing in one way or another to an accelerated preparedness. And like the rest of us, the railroads are going to do everything possible to help the national rearmament. Since railroad transportation is such an essential part of any such effort, the railroad program is to spend more than $1 billion in 1951 to enlarge and improve every part of their plans. And the result will be even more efficient, dependable railroads, with transportation capacity rising in step with the rising demands of national defense.
All aboard!
Well, sir, it looks as though we're ready to pull out. Remember, next Monday we're presenting Rodgers and Hammerstein's Carousel. So until next week, this is Gordon McRae saying goodbye to all of you, especially to my mother and my wonderful family.
Gordon McRae can be seen starring in the Warner Brothers production, The West Point Story. Our guest star tonight was Lucille Norman. The script was written by Gene Holloway. Our choir is under the direction of Norman Luboff, and our music is prepared and conducted by Carmen Dragon. This is Marvin Miller saying goodbye until next week for the American Railroad. And now keep tuned to your Monday night of music on NBC.
Enjoy James Melton on Voice of Firestone on NBC.